Good morning. My name is Dan, one of the ministry staff here at St. George's. I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, thankful for Jesus who spoke to the apostles, and his words were written down for our benefit. We pray this morning you might help us hear it and understand it, and as I speak it, Lord, I might be faithful to it, that we all might respond appropriately to your word in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing our series through Matthew's Gospel in this section, speaking of the king's authority, in this case, the king's authority to send. And we don't often do this. In fact, I never do this except for now. I'm doing it now. And that is, I wanted to start with a quote from another preacher on this passage, because it's helpful to think, what have other people said about it? And as we come and approach God's word. So in a sermon uploaded in December 2019, Bill Johnson, who's pastor of a large American church, said the following. He said, Jesus defines our ministry by what we can't do. In Matthew 10, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse lepers. He didn't say, pray for the sick. He didn't say, pray they would be raised from the dead. He didn't say that. He said, raise them. And the description underneath the video, which is still there, says this. Bill Johnson unpacks our responsibility to bring healing to those who are sick through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't say, pray for the sick. He said to heal the sick. Rhetorical question. What do you think about that? What do you think? Is it our responsibility, yours and mine, to do these extraordinary things? Well, people like Bill Johnson would say, yes, yes, of course. And he'd say, it's not even optional. No, it's a mandate on every Christian that we all carry. So I wonder what you think. Well, I'm going to share what I think. And look, in my view, I would say Bill and I, we have a slightly different set of rules for good biblical interpretation. I've got three rules that I usually run with, and the first one I'll share with you, the first one is this, context, okay, and the second one is similar, but you'll be able to see the nuance of difference, and that is the second rule is context, okay, and the third rule is again just slightly different, it's context, okay, so, but this raises another question for us, doesn't it? How do we read this passage? What is the context within which Jesus is speaking? You know, what is the meaning of Jesus calling his 12 disciples to himself, sending them out with instructions? And why did Matthew include this account for us and give it to us in such detail? And what about when I'm reading the Bible in my quiet time? How do I read it and go, oh, I know what this means for me? Well, here's the first thing that I think Matthew wants to get across here, and it helps us with that first rule of context, right? The 12 apostles carry Jesus' authority. Think about it for a moment. The apostles were appointed directly by Jesus, and there are 12 of them. And notice Matthew's care in maintaining their number is 12, right? And the authority Jesus gives to them. Here it is in Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus calls his 12 disciples to him. And what does he do? He gives them authority. He gives them authority to drive out impure spirits, heal every disease and sickness. So there it is. Jesus calls his 12 disciples, and they carry Jesus' authority because it's given to them by Jesus. But he goes on and he names them. These are the names of the 12 apostles. Now, something we did during the week, Mike and I and Julia, and actually I did this with our Bible study group as well. We had to close our Bibles and have a go at naming the 12 apostles. I wonder how you would go. Here they are up on the screen. There's Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas. Now we know Judas betrayed Jesus. He lost his spot and another took his place. But if I were to ask you a question, Like when Jesus says in verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you've received, freely give. To whom is Jesus speaking? Is he speaking to me? Well, context tells us, yeah, he's speaking to the 12 apostles. Just to drive it home, look at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. And then he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and so on and so forth. So having given them authority, Jesus commissions them. He commissions them. So that's my second point. The apostles carry Jesus' authority given to them by Jesus, and then he commissions them to preach the kingdom. He sends them out with a mission. Now, did you know this word apostle that we're talking about this morning? It's a transliteration of a Greek word, apostolos, right? Now, you don't need to know that, but I'm going to put it up on the screen anyway. Apostolos, there it is. And it means one sent, right? So it just means one sent. One sent, like an emissary, okay? So you might send me out with a message to the folk at St. Bart's. I would be an apostle of St. George's Church with a message to them. But who are they sent to and to do what? Well, already we've heard that they weren't to go to the Gentiles, but to go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, Jesus said to them, proclaim this message, the gospel, the kingdom of heaven has come near. So the 12 are sent to Israel to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And on this mission, they were to heal and to cleanse and drive out demons. Now, if you were here last week, you would have heard Mike's sermon, and you would have noticed Mike's been using some nice pieces of art to illustrate his sermon. So I thought, well, I better give a nice artwork as well for us to see. Here it is. Now we can see from this beautiful piece of art, we can see Jesus sending them out with their mission, and you can see them perhaps here healing and driving out demons. Perhaps this person has been raised from the dead. Here they are telling these people here that the kingdom has come near. We see these things in verse 9, for example, here, perhaps over here is saying, don't bring, you know, money for your bag and the rest of it, gold, silver, or extra shirt, sandals, or staff. And in verse 11, they're told to go to a house and look for worthy persons in each town and stay there as they preach. But look at this at verse 14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Do you see just the level of authority Jesus expects his apostles to carry with them as they go into each town? Do you see the importance there of receiving the apostles and their word as they go? You know, these words of Jesus tell me two things. One, it's the imperative to receive the word of the apostles. And the second thing, noting that he says, look, it'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than the people who refuse to hear the words of the apostles, tells me death is not the end. You might read the Old Testament and think, well, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were judged back then, done and dusted. No, Jesus says there is a coming judgment that Sodom and Gomorrah are waiting for. And anyone who hears the word of the apostles and makes a choice on how they're going to respond. That is, how things will go in a future day of judgment has something to do with whether or not a person receives the word of the apostles, right? So presumably, because the word of the apostle, as they proclaim the good news of the kingdom, carries with it the authority of Jesus himself. I mean, well, let's take a look, because the passage actually tells us how we'd understand the word of the apostles. And the third point here, the apostles carry Jesus' authority, they're commissioned to preach the kingdom, and Jesus tells us that they speak God's very words. We see it because as Jesus prepares the apostles for his mission, he tells them straightforward. He says, this isn't going to be a picnic. It's not going to be a good time for you. No, he says, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves, doesn't he? So he says, be smart, be shrewd like snakes, be innocent as doves. Don't let anyone give the opportunity to bring good news you carry into disrepute. And then be on your guard, because you'll be handed over to councils, flogged in synagogues, brought before governors and kings. And we actually see this play out in the lives of the apostles, don't we? But listen to this in verses 19 and 20. He says, when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now, in the past, I've often, this verse has sort of sat in my memory banks somewhere, and I've always just imagined that Jesus is speaking directly to me here. Don't worry, Dan. When you come before when you're arrested for the sake of the gospel, don't worry, because it won't be you speaking, Dan. The Spirit of God will give you the words to speak. It'll be the Father speaking through you by the Spirit. But I have to say, in preparation this week, I've actually come to think different. Applying my rules, context, context, context. This is Jesus telling the apostles, the 12, I'm giving you authority to go out and responsibility to pass on what I have spoken to you, what has become known as the apostolic deposit of faith, the gospel of the kingdom, confirmed by signs, by wonders, healings and all the rest, so that even when brought before governors and kings, the apostles would be speaking the words of God. This was Jesus' promise to them. Believe it or not, if you bring me before the parking attendant, I can't guarantee it will be the Spirit of my Father in heaven that I'll be speaking. So if it's Jesus' words to them, well, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? Well, here's one significant implication for us. The apostles' word is God's word. Perhaps we ought to add the caveat when it comes to the proclamation of the good news of the kingdom. Have you ever heard the phrase sola scriptura before? It's a Reformation phrase. I'll put it up on the screen. Sola scriptura. What does it mean? Well, look, it means that the highest authority, the one that trumps all the rest, is the scriptures. Scripture alone, it means. The idea is this. Since the New Testament, which I'm holding in my hand right now, here has the Old Testament here as well, but since the New Testament is the passing on of that apostolic deposit of faith, within the first generation of Christian church, if you have a question about faith, what it means to be a Christian, then the apostolic deposit of faith, the Bible, the scriptures, trumps all the other authorities. That's not to say that there aren't other authorities. Mike is an authority over me. He's the rector of this church, and Mike has an authority he submits to, the bishop. And the bishop has an authority, the archbishop. My high school science teacher was also an authority. But all these authorities have not been told by Jesus, don't worry about what you say, the Spirit of my Father will speak through you. Jesus spoke those words to the apostles. Instead, Mike can make mistakes, I can make mistakes, our bishop can make mistakes, either unintentionally or intentionally. When it comes to questions of faith and conduct, they all sit under the authority given to the apostles. That authority was given for them to pass on what they call the apostolic deposit of faith, the gospel. And that's contained for us here in the Scriptures. That's why we submit to the Scriptures. That's why every authority, when it comes to what it means to be a Christian, submits to the authority of the Scriptures. It's because we are submitting to the authority of the apostles. All right. But that last point up on the screen. The apostles carried Jesus' authority. They were commissioned to preach the kingdom. They spoke God's words, and we do inherit the message and also the mission. So yeah, the apostles were the ones given the authority to heal and raise the dead and bring forth God's words and all the rest. They are the ones to whom Jesus said, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight and proclaim from the roofs." And they did. They heeded Jesus' words. They listened to him when he said, "Don't be afraid of the one who kills the body but can't kill the soul." They understood the numbers of their head were numbered and they were valued more than sparrows, even though each one of them would die for proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. They were either crucified, in the case of St. Peter, crucified upside down. They were boiled. By tradition, John was boiled in oil, survived and died in prison. Or they were beheaded like St. Paul. It was true for the apostle in the first place that Jesus didn't come to bring peace but a sword. They took up their cross and they followed Jesus. And so counted themselves worthy of the call that Jesus placed on their lives. Jesus said to the 12, he said, "You won't get around to all the towns of Israel before the coming of the Son of Man." That's in our passage. Well, before his ascension, Jesus spoke these words recorded for us in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Did you notice that whereas in the first place they were told to go to the lost sheep of Israel, and Jesus said, "You won't finish getting around to all of them by the time of the coming of the Son of Man," and at the end of his ministry, when he comes into the presence of the Ancient of Days, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Get out there to the whole world. And he says, "Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you." Rather than just tell them the kingdom is near, teach them to obey everything. With the message that the apostles delivered and we received, we inherit the mission. So it is God's word to them, but it is for us. It is for us. With the mission, we don't receive the same authority. We're not told to go out and to heal and cleanse and raise the dead. But I tell you what, if someone's sick, I'm praying for them. And perhaps God has given in his grace and mercy a particular gift of healing or prophecy or whatever it is. That is God's prerogative to give that to you. We're not given the same authority of the apostles. Praise God for that, because if I'm speaking, I can't always guarantee the words are coming out right. But Jesus has promised that we can trust the word given to the apostles. And let me say this, do you think it's still the case that many around the world are handed over to authorities, man against father, perhaps daughter against mother, to prison or even death? I was speaking to someone this morning who was talking about someone who came to faith. They followed Islam and they came to faith in Jesus as Messiah. Let me tell you, it is incredibly dangerous to do that. It still carries the death penalty if you are to turn to Jesus from Islam. So yes, it absolutely is. If you read this passage, all the things that Jesus said to the disciples carries through when it comes to people's antagonism toward the gospel, and we need to be ready for that. At least don't be surprised by it. We might not speak God's very words ready to be inscribed as scripture, But God's Spirit remains in you if you trust in Jesus. And you needn't worry about what to say at that time. And what's true for the apostle is also true for you and me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me, says Jesus. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So what will you do? What will you do when the choice is presented before you? I find it easy to think of the big choice. Disown Jesus or lose your life right now. You know, in my imagination, someone maybe has a gun and they're saying these things. It's quite dramatic. Well, look at Jesus' words right now. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And consider, how will you respond when that time comes? Will you say on that day, no, I can't give up my Jesus who lived and died for me? I'll tell you what's a harder question to answer. I feel like the big one, the big dramatic one, we can be gung-ho about that one. We'll see what happens when the day comes. The harder question to me is this, when it comes to asking myself the question, will I take up my cross and follow Jesus? Maybe red is better here. Will I take up my cross and follow Jesus? When there's no danger, no gun, no other person, no one telling me anything. Instead, it's my own heart speaking to me, saying, disown Jesus or lose this friend. Or maybe not even disown Jesus or lose this friend, but maybe ignore Jesus or lose this friend. Disown Jesus or lose this marriage, lose this job, lose this reputation, this job opportunity, lose this fun life. What will it be then? What does Jesus say? Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Will I choose the cross then? The big thing, we can be dramatic, but it's those little choices, isn't it? Will I be prepared to take up my cross and simply invite a friend to meet Jesus? Remember, don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. And I know there are many faithful servants of Jesus among us at St. George's who have stuck with Jesus for years and years, perhaps pleading with tears, a friend, a colleague, a family member, or praying with tears. Well, Jesus' word here tells me, and I'm convinced of it, that our Father knows the hairs of your head, that they're numbered, that he sees you, that you've acknowledged the Son before others. He will acknowledge you before your Father in heaven. What have we seen today? The apostles carry Jesus' authority. They were commissioned to preach the kingdom, to speak God's words, initially to Israel and then to the whole world. And we inherit that message and that mission. So go. Go, therefore. Take the mission with you. And you know what? For the next 4 weeks, as we've mentioned, we're going to go through a series on global mission, praying, caring, giving, and going. And my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to every one of us. I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus' word. We thank you that you did give the apostles that authority, and they did collect Jesus' word and share it with the world. Please help us to have trust and faith in their word as they faithfully present to us the gospel. And help us, when that time comes, to choose Jesus. Though we might lose our life here, help us to understand and grip the reality that we find it in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.